It is Saturday Night on Ice, October 21st, not 23rd. Some idiot graphic designers. What an idiot. Jeez. It is October 21st. October 21st. That's what it is. Yes. The Sharks lose 5-3, but if your name is Wanda Lockwood, you're celebrating tonight.
Because you've just won $100,000.
That's courtesy right.
Courtesy of Safeway.
Ingredients for no life. Oh, wait, I shouldn't say that. Nonetheless, welcome to Teal Town After Dark. We will get to your host and just a jiffy. Of course, this isn't live interactive Sharks post-game show. And if you want to be part of that show, you can chat with us and fellow Sharks fans in the YouTube chat or on the page or the app on our site, along with hashtag TealTownUSA. And also, don't forget to follow TealTownUSA on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. With that being said, hello, everyone. I am Eric Curry. You can follow me on Twitter at BuckGuy14. Great to have you with us tonight. And also, joining us tonight, this is where we All right, let me vamp for a little bit while somebody else chews. This is a great night. It's a Saturday night. I mean, people, after you watch the show, of course, you should go out and hang out, maybe get a bite to eat or something like that.
Cue Eric eating some cinnamon toast.
With that, the guy who spells his name the right way, Eric Landy. What's up, bud?
Not much, man. Not much. Just, I don't know, just kind of trying to take in that game. And it was really, really weird. I mean, started off really much like they were just kind of feeling each other out. It looked like the Sharks were on the second of a back-to-back. Yep. And honestly, it just that first was just a feeler out. Second, we saw the goals come fast and furious. And then the third was kind of just a heartbreaker. You know, just you do everything right, but sometimes the bounces just don't go.
Yeah, no, the Sharks looked like they were getting a grip on this game, and then the second period just kind of fell apart there, unfortunately. And you know, in the end result, they made a run at it but just could not get it done. They lose this one 5-3. They now fall back under 500 at 3-4 on the campaign. But here, let's talk about this game, or is how AJ probably still has it on his phone with his sound effects. Let's talk about this game. All right. So, Sharks coming back on a back-to-back. But they get things going early with Logan Couture, his fourth on the year from Bernsey and Thornton. You know, kind of weird because, Landy, this is where Logan got the tip from. The burn shot is usually where Joe Pavelski is on this power play goal at 6:26 of the second period.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very Pavelski-esque type goal. But, you know, Logan and Pavelski, you know, they both practice those shots all the time. I think, you know, if you're somebody not named Joe Thornton, your prerequisite is to be able to tip the damn puck because it's either going to be coming from him or from Bernsey. So,
yep.
You know, those saucer passes that Joe likes to dish out, and of course the wrist shot that Bernsey's got. You know, I think it was really good executed, and you know, it was just a drop back to Burns from the point, and Logan kind of tips it home. I think the interesting though is we are seeing that the Sharks are still kind of stuck in their same ways in the power play. The power play, let's just call it like set plays, have remained the same, and their positionings have stayed the same since last year. And I think that a lot of guys, a lot of PK units are starting to key in on that now. And I think that's probably the main reason why Bernsey right now is sitting on a goose egg for goals.
And you know what? And you bring up a good point. It reminds me of what we talked about last night on After Dark, where, you know, ever since the Cup Final and the loss to the Penguins, I think teams have figured out that they are need to watch out for Burns when he receives a puck from Jumbo. And unfortunately, that's the problem, is that you just have Jumbo and Burnsy in such the set sequence that it gets in the way. And I remember tweeting this out, I think it was like in the third period, and we'll get to that a little bit later, but there was such flow and so many scoring chances on a rush that ended up getting the Sharks a power play, and they kept getting more chances there. And I'm like, where is this on the power play? But you know what? They'll eventually have to learn. Something's got to give eventually with this power play. But nonetheless, Logan did get one on the power play, makes it 1-0 Sharks. Just a minute later, Anders Lee pays dividends from a nice pass from Nick Leddy via John Tavares on a defensive breakdown from the Sharks. I think they were watching the puck a little too much there. He gets his fourth on the year at 7:33 and make it 1-1. Like, it's like you just got the lead a minute ago, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and that was the Anders Lee was the that was the pickoff play. No, that wasn't the pickoff play. That was the that was the redirect from Leddy and Tavares. I think with that one, I mean, the Sharks have to know that teams will not give them that 1 minute or 30-second interval after they've scored a goal, that kind of respite that we see teams can take advantage of the Sharks. I mean, because I think the Sharks kind of get locked into a false sense of security after a goal is scored, and it's probably one of their more vulnerable times to score on them. I think we've always kind of seen at the very beginning of a game, if you get to the Sharks early, that's a good recipe to beat them. But also after a momentum shift, any kind of momentum shift, if it shifts like at a goal scored for the Sharks, or if it's a goal against, you see this team kind of not collapse mentally, but start to have a little bit of a mental hiccup right after a big momentum swing.
Yep. And you know what? The worst part is they took advantage of that momentum shift as Bailey, why can't I pull this up here? Josh Bailey scores unassisted, out deking Dell right in front of his own net to give the Islanders a 2-1 lead, two goals in 58 seconds for the team formerly known as Fish Sticks. That one was tough because, you know, Dell's hung out to dry, no help there at all.
Yeah, I mean, that one, you know, Josh Bailey just literally undresses him in a phone booth. I mean, you know, he's given a lot of time in front of the net. The defense is nowhere to be seen to clear him out, and he just puts it past him. And he just had way too much time, and he's a dangler. I mean, the guy just dangled him right out of his pads.
Yeah. And it was a tough one. However, the Sharks do get one back. Logan Couture, his second of the game, fifth on the season, from former Vancouver Canuck Yannick Hansen and Brendan Dillon. That's right. That squeal you just heard was Rocket from Nashville. Ties the game up at 2-2. Logan receiving a nice pass from Yannick Hansen and with a nice wrist shot, beating former Shark Thomas Greislick and Renan Mule.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a sick shot. We know Logan can pull those out. He pulls maybe four or five of those goals out every year, and you're just like, damn, you know, if he really puts his mind to it and really shoots like that, he could be a 30-40 goal scorer. But I think his defensive responsibilities kind of get in the way with that a little bit. But discussion for maybe a little bit further down in the show. But, yeah, just a wicked shot.
We aren't playing Boston, so it wasn't wicked awesome.
It wasn't wicked awesome.
So the Sharks move on along with the Islanders into the third period, and that's when the Islanders started breaking it open. They get three goals in the period. Why isn't NHL.com? Well, of course.
It's three goals in the third period. Andrew Ladd for Barzal and Bailey, 3 minutes, 12 seconds into the third. I mean, that goal, I don't know if LeBanc blew his cover there or if it was just a defensive misread, but basically Andrew Ladj just left all alone. And he's right in the middle of the slot, and he just rips it past Dell. I mean, there's literally nothing that Dell could do on that shot. Top right-hand corner. Just Dell was kind of a little left out to dry there. And I believe that was on the Joakim Ryan pinch, on a bad pinch by Joakim Ryan. And you know what? I mean, it's going to happen. But I think he's got to remember that he's got Brent Burns, like the most defensive liability, the most suspect defenseman we have. You know, he's playing with him. So he's got to be kind of more of the rock instead of that two-way kind of defenseman that he is. You don't fault the kid. I mean, you're going to make misreads. I like his steadiness. People will comment, well, how come you're not as easy on him, or how come you're not as easy on Dylan than you are on Ryan? And I think it's just what Ryan plays a little bit more of a quiet game. So his whole game is prone to less mishaps than Dylan is.
Yeah, no, and unfortunately the Starfish defense actually got was taken advantage of by John Tavares tonight on the fourth goal for the Islanders, as he set up Anders Lee to make it 4-2 Isles. And what was happening here was that Burnsy did his Starfish, but Tavares waited for Burnsy to start getting up. And sure enough, he waited, and just as he's getting up, he puts it through Burnsy's skates to feed Lee to make it 4-2.
And that Lee goal was kind of a backbreaker too, because it looked like it was just gonna miss, but he just slid it in there. And I mean, really, I think that Anders Lee goal, while Logan did score his third upcoming, I think that one was kind of the backbreaker, to be honest.
Yeah, that one was hurting. And I hate to say it, with the two goal lead, the Sharks really just not actually working out a bit. Moving onward, so the Sharks pull their goalie with under 2 minutes to go, and sure enough, Logan Couture completes the hat trick, sends Wanda Lockwood into an absolute frenzy as she wins $100,000, getting the shot, and makes it 4-3 with about a minute to go. That's what we like to call the teaser goal. Make you feel like you're in it, but no. So, but what did you think of the hat trick goal?
I thought Logan was in really good position for that goal. I really liked the net front presence that he showed there to get that goal. And, you know, it was just, you knew that the Sharks were going to need a gritty kind of goal like that to get back into it, because nothing was going in for them in that third period. And I don't know if in the beginning of the third period they just kind of just forgot about that a little bit, or if they just really didn't have enough time to set up in the offensive zone for a screen or a tip-in. But it just seemed like as soon as maybe 6 minutes left in the period, they really kind of got their heads out of their butts and like, okay, yeah, maybe we should go in front of the goal and, you know, try and get one with some net front presence instead of, you know, doing the old let's shoot high on the guy.
Right. Yeah, and they kept going high on Grice tonight, but unfortunately no dice for them to get the equalizer. In fact, John Tavares put it in the open net on the other side with under a minute to go. Seals the deal, 5-3 your final, as the Islanders pick up a victory. The Sharks fall again below 500 to 3-4. Landy, if there is some solace into the ups and downs of this team this year, it's the fact that while they had a rough time early on with their penalty kill, they killed off 22 of 23 power plays, as mentioned in the broadcast tonight. So that's something, right?
I think in the beginning of the year, you also had to look at their face-off percentage, too. I mean, it was pretty bad. And it's kind of equalized out. Actually, it's kind of rebounded from last year where we saw that, you know, last year that they kind of slid in the face-off department. Now they're kind of back up. And I don't know if NHL.com, let me take a look, if they've updated the stats with games played. Yeah, so Sharks have gotten to their seventh game now, and they're sitting 85.7% on the PK. They go one for four tonight on the power play. So their power play ranking right now is ninth. So basically, if you're kind of a newer hockey fan or whatever, or if maybe it's just something that people don't really, you know, really understand, but when you're having a total special teams rating above 100%, so that's your power play plus your PK percentage. If you're hovering over 100%, that normally means that you're in the top third of teams. And that's normally where you want to hover around is at or above 100%. Right now, the Sharks are sitting at 108%, which, again, is good for ninth and third or ninth and fourth. I don't remember what I just said. Ninth and fifth. So, you know, as far as the special teams drum goes, I think that they did well. And I thought that the power play, I think the first power play and the third power play looked really, really good. Coincidentally, the third power play was started by the second unit, which had some really, really good looks tonight. Mm-hmm. I thought that as the game went on, the first unit kind of looked, like I said, they kind of got back into that, let's pass it off to Burns and, you know, try and get a tip or, you know, have Burns get a goal or whatever. They kind of reverted back to that, which was a little disappointing to see. But, you know, I'll take a 1-for-4 night, 25% on the power play. I mean, you can't do better. I mean, you can do better than that, but you know, most times if you win the whole special teams battle, you're going to do well. And I think that's kind of the crappy part of this game is just that, you know, when you look at the blank stats, Sharks have 31 shots on goal. They have, were 1-for-4 on the power play. Faceoff percentage was 49%. You know, 8 giveaways. So they didn't lead in the giveaways stat tonight. You know, and the Islanders, vice versa, had 23 shots on goal, 51% on the faceoff, 0-for-2 on the power play, and 13 giveaways. I mean, that's a stat line where you would say, okay, the Sharks probably won that game. Yep. And unfortunately, they just didn't. The last, I don't know, I guess, do I fault Dell on any of the goals? I would probably say probably the Anders Lee goal, the one after the power play where they score to tie it up. I didn't like that goal. You know, you can't fault him on the Josh Bailey goal. He was left alone in front with a dangler. I mean, it's not really, there's nothing really you could do about that. The Andrew Ladd goal was a busted defensive coverage, shoots a top right-hand corner. I mean, it's above his glove. I mean, not really much you could do there. And the Anders Lee goal kind of got chasing just a little bit. You know, he was a little bit out of position. Had he been a little bit more square to the shooter, he might have been able to get his right pad on that. But that's a 50-50. You could make that save and you wouldn't make that save. So I thought that the goaltending was decent. It certainly gave him a chance to win, that's for sure. You know, so we'll just see. You know, Dell. I think Dell held up his end of the bargain.
Yeah, he seemed like he did a decent job, and that's what you expect from your backup goaltender, is to be a decent goaltender, be a good job, do a good job, and then give the starter some rest, which, you know, we don't need to have Martin Jones play 70 games. I think this organization has learned from the past where you start 70, 72, 74 games. It's just, you know, it'll be it'll be detrimental down the road if this team were to make the playoffs.
Well, I mean, right now, even after tonight's game, he's sitting at a 1.5 goals against average and 935 save percentage. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, what more can you ask for out of your backup?
Exactly.
I mean, if you sit at like 915 as a backup, you know, a 0.915 save percentage, or, you know, goals against sitting, you know, at a below 2.3. Like, those are great stats for a backup. And, I mean, Dell proved himself last year. I mean, heck, his career average right now is sitting at a 0.93. That's pretty damn good. That's almost like, you know, heir apparent kind of numbers, mm-hmm. you know. And so I don't think that there's really much more you could have asked for from Dell, if it was my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think you bring up a good point to hit up the chat. There was one thing that I saw from Bearded Sharks Guy 661. Who on the fourth line is getting sat on Monday? Meyer hasn't been very good. Carpenter is meh, and Hansen is spotty at best. But are any of them worse than Ward?
See, and that's what I keep thinking. I thought maybe they would have swapped out some players, considering it was a back-to-back tonight, that maybe Ward gets in there, or heck, even Goodrow for that matter.
I think for me, tonight, I looked at that fourth line. Hansen had some good looks, especially that backhander that Grice really had a hard time on. He almost let that in.
Yep.
You know, so Hansen, like Bearded Shark says, is hit or miss. He really is. He's really spotty. And I think him and Ward are going to be those players that you're going to have to really manage the ice time and really manage the game started. Meyer, you don't take out. In my opinion, I mean, you brought this kid up. You have to give him the reps to play. He's a big body, so he can handle fourth line minutes. So if it were me, I would probably take out Hansen and put Gaudreau on the fourth line and keep Carpenter there.
Interesting, for sure. It'll be interesting to see how that works out, because I think it does need a little bit of a change. You know, can always try out different things, and you just never know. I mean, yeah, Hansen had some good looks tonight. He had an assist on Logan's second goal of the game, so he's making his play to stay in the lineup, just like Donskoy did last night. Let's see, I'm going through the chat here. Chester Tivo saying that $100,000 should come out of Aaron Dell's contract. A012345, Niemi would have to pay $100,000 to keep playing for the Pens. We'll get to that in a sec, including a nice tweet from a Pittsburgh beat writer. Is Puck Guy ineligible for Safeway giveaways? No, they technically have a separate one for employees. So let's see.
So all right. Well, let's kind of. I think that. I think there's one that's kind of been swirling around in here, and it's kind of a big question now. Do we think that the Hansen trade? What do we think about that? We've basically a season, about maybe half of a season's worth of information, maybe a little bit more than a half season's information. What do we think about that? I mean, do we think it was a major overpayment by Doug Wilson? Do we think it, the prospect Goldobin that we gave up for him, you know, hasn't really panned out. So I can't say that we're being bit actively.
Yeah. No, I want to say it's been a bit of a disappointment. If it was just a fourth rounder going to Vancouver, I wouldn't have a problem with it. However, with it being a fourth round and you were leading goal scorer from your minor league squad, that's where it stings a little bit. And mind you, it wouldn't sting if we had to give up a first and Gold Omen, because that would have meant the Sharks won the Stanley Cup. Before we continue on the chat, I do want to mention, as NBC Sports California signs off for their Sharks coverage, we'd like to welcome you to Teal Town After Dark. I am Eric Kura, alongside Eric Landy, taking you through the Sharks' 5-3 loss over the New York Islanders tonight. Make sure you can join us in the chat on YouTube, or hit us on the Twitter machine at Teal Town USA.
Chester Chimo with a zinger. Barkley must have hit on his wife again. A 012345 says, dog kicked.
Oh boy. Murray?
Yeah. I think that kind of segue really good into my question that I kind of want to pose to you and kind of see what your thought is on this. But it's kind of become apparent that this team is lacking finishing talent. I think it's starting to become kind of apparent that the team needs another dynamic player like they had last year in Burns, but they need another kind of dynamic player to help bridge that gap a little bit on the 5-on-5 play. Mm-hmm. And what do you think that this team can realistically do? I mean, what do you think that this team can realistically go out and get?
I don't know. It's tough, especially early on, since we're 7 games in, see what's out there. I mean, heck, they were past the quarter pole when they acquired Jumbo in 2005. It just, they do need a finisher, but that's the thing, is that has it been not finishers, but setup guys, more so than anything down the road, throughout the history of this organization. And that's where I think the power play comes into an issue, is because there isn't someone that wants to bang it home. They want to set it up.
And I don't know. I'm just thinking about what does this team need to realistically be, you know, to realistically compete with, you know, the Edmonton or with Edmonton or Calgary or with Anaheim. And you see these 1-2 kind of punches, and you thought that Thornton and Pavelski would be that. I don't know that you're thinking that this year, because they're starting to creep up on that big slope looking down. And if they haven't already, this team is incomplete still. And I think it came in with a wide open hole, you know, as that left winger center position.
Yep.
That, you know, number 12 kind of has left in his wake. Now, I think the fact that LeBanc has done fairly decent on the wing with Jumbo and Pavelski has kind of not spurred the desperation, but kind of held it off for a little bit for DW to make a move. But, you know, when you have another center, I think it just helps slot everybody into their correct position, where you can have Logan centering a line and, you know, have Tierney be a fourth line center. So I don't know. I just feel like this team is a center playmaker or a center finisher, short.
Yeah, there, and even if it doesn't, it's not even a center, a winger that just wants to finish. That's what we were supposed to have with Danny Heatley, was a finisher. You know, it would be perfect complement to Jumbo. And while that worked for a year, it didn't work all the way through the 2 years that he was in San Jose. In the chat, well, we got a number of things. Gen X is saying this team has drafted middling players. You ask myself, AJ, or Hockey Jerk, or Alex last night after we went off the air, we were talking about draft picks. And while we were talking about drafting defensemen, even the players that the Sharks had drafted in the early rounds just haven't cut it consistently. I should say that. A0 1 2 3 4 5. Marlowe would have slid nicely. Oh wait, ouch, ouch. Nick Stella in the chat. Nick, how are you? Good to see you in here. Vlasic needs to get off the power play, and Ryan needs to hit the net. What do you think of that one?
Vlasic off the power play. I mean, I've been advocating for that for since that was a thing last season. Put Ryan on that on the second unit power play. So, go ahead.
I was gonna say, from Bearded Sharks Guy 661. The Sharks need a goal scorer not named Couture. Lots of two-way players, very little snipers. If we had someone like Barzal, I would think there'd be a little bit better of the future.
Possibly. But this team has never put faith in smaller players before. It never has. I mean, even thinking back, I mean, how big was Pat Falloon? He wasn't that big.
No. He wasn't that big.
And he didn't really, I mean, didn't really pan out. So this team has really looked for larger players. I mean, Kevin LeBanc is an exception, but he was a late round pick. I mean, look at all of their first rounders. And what's the prototypical Sharks player? They're big, or they're tall, or they're two-way. And that's literally, for the DW era, that's the type of player that he drafts.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, I mean, the time that we did pick a different mold from that, who would we get? Well, we got Nikolai Goldobin, and now look where he's at. So, I mean, Tavares or Duchesne, who else could the Sharks really go after? I don't think that the Sharks have any chance of landing Tavares. Dr. Jackal, Whitney. I mean, Ray Whitney was a smaller player.
They didn't give him a chance in heck with the team after the 95 upset over Calgary. And Al Sims basically destroyed that. And in the end, Whitney becomes a great player among a number of teams. And
Not named the Sharks,
you know. Columbus, Detroit, Edmonton, Florida,
Phoenix,
Phoenix, Dallas, you know. So yeah, but like Hockey Trick says, pure finishers are hard to come by.
Yeah, I mean, James Neal for a trade deadline acquisition. I mean, that's the kind of player that the Sharks could be in on. I don't know what kind of trade chips it's going to take to land somebody like that.
Especially within the division, too.
Especially within the division, exactly. Nick Stella brings up a good point. Cam Atkinson, I mean, that's a good name. And Nick Stella is asking, isn't he a free agent next year? Let me take a look.
So quickly jump on the cap friendly on that one.
Yeah, Columbus... Cam Atkinson is a UFA next year, so that's a potential person you could go after. And you know, he's making $3.5 million now, 28 years old. That could be a Sharks kind of a sneaky pickup in the free agent market. Who else? I mean, maybe you could swing a deadline trade for him, and it's Columbus, so it's out of conference, which is nice.
Yep.
Maybe let's take a look and see what we got in Detroit. I mean, everybody's gonna say Athanasiou, get the rights for him. But I mean, honestly, I don't see Detroit doing that.
Yeah. In Gen X hit to right on the head. Sharks have nothing to give Vegas. We saw that specifically when they had the expansion draft. You know, they went with Slemko, and he's gone.
Yeah, Nick is saying Hurdle and a first for Cam. I still don't think that you give up on Hurdle, especially with the tools that he's got in his toolbox. I think this is going to be the year, though, that you take a look and see what you really have with him. And so far, I've liked what I've seen with Hurdle.
Mm-hmm. In like Gen X is saying, you know, Columbus is going to want to a top six prospect back for Atkinson if you go after him at the deadline. I mean, in A0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we have a slightly used Bodker and Ward. Yes.
Bearded Sharks guy 661, Athanasiu, or however the hell you spell his name, is just a younger version of Bodker, but can semi finish. Sure. I mean, Bodker. I thought that he would take a drop off because of the style switch going from Dave Tippett's Phoenix system to Peter DeBoer's system, but I didn't think he was going to take this much of a precipitous fall. And hell, he's not even, you know, where he dines out on the power play, he's not even doing that.
Yep. And Ian is right on the money too. Would Columbus actually be a seller at the deadline? And that's true. And for that matter, if the Jackets are in need of a center, why would they go after Hurdle? For that matter.
Right. And I mean, but the Jackets, that's kind of an interesting one. You're going to look for these kind of more hockey trades or interesting kind of trades. You're going to look for a UFA kind of guy. Now, if Columbus is still in the, okay, we're thinking semi-long term, where sure, we'll make the playoffs this year. Is this our year to go all the way? They had some really good players last year, and if they made that extra step, this could definitely be a year for growth. But if they're still thinking, okay, maybe we're one year off, they might be able to trade away a pending unrestricted free agent. I mean, I think that that's probably what the Islanders are going to do. They're going to hold on to John Tavares for dear life, and I don't think that they're going to trade him during the deadline. I just think that Garth Snow's got too much pride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was an interesting thought out of Pittsburgh where, you know, do you want to start to think about getting rid of Phil Kessel? You know, that's $6.8 million, you know, for 5 more years on a 30-year-old. I mean, is there something to deal there, too? I mean, they need some cap flexibility.
Well,
Connor. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say Connor Sheary and Rust. I mean, they're not gonna trade away their young guys who they have cap control over. I mean, Connor Sheary right now is $3 million UFA in 2021. You won't get rid of a person like that. Brian Rust, he's gonna be a pending restricted free agent. You don't get rid of your cap controlled guys. I mean, this is kind of an old baseball adage, but you know, your cap controlled pieces are the pieces that you want to keep around because you know you have cap visibility going into the future. So, you know, as much as we want to try and get a younger kind of guy, you just got to think about, okay, well, if he's going to be younger, I mean, what's his cap situation look like? What kind of contract is he on? Is he going to be a restricted free agent or unrestricted? Hockey Jerk saying Kessel's one of the best snipers in the game. If anything, Malkin goes. I don't see that.
That would be interesting if they traded Malkin.
I don't know how. I mean, shit, he's almost as talented as Crosby is. I mean, that Malkin is just that good. Since we're talking about acquiring someone, I'm adding in the obligatory Rick Nash mention.
There you go. Of course.
Oh God. Well, I mean, look, New York is an interesting team though. I mean, if we're going to be all honest here, I mean, New York, it's got pending free agent Matt Zuccarello next year. He's going to be a UFA next year. I mean, if they come deadline and they're not doing anything, I don't see them trading him. I mean, he's 30 years old, but I don't know. He's always seemed kind of a younger 30. Who else do they got on there? Rick Nash is 33.
I can't see them trading for Rick Nash when this team is trying to get younger.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Grabner, but even still, that's meh.
Yeah.
David Desharnais.
Meh.
Meh. who else? Well, let's just take a look and just have a quick peek here on the standings and see, you know, what teams are in need of a shakeup.
Montreal.
Montreal. There is
a team that's probably getting fan and media backlash right now. It doesn't help that they are in French Canada. That they're just not having life right now. I mean, 1-6-1, 3 points on the year. I mean, there was so much potential going on. Carey Price is breaking his stick. I know he went full Pekka Rinne the other night against Quackenheim.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm just looking on here. I mean, what Montreal would probably want back is some kind of defensive prospect, because we have seen that their defense is just not so great. But they're also looking for scoring help. So, I mean, do you really see them as selling off a, I don't know, there's not really anybody in there I want. Maybe Alex or Tomasz Pokanic, or, I mean, everybody wants Galchenyuk. Alex Galchenyuk is what I was thinking, but, you know, you don't have a superstar kind of caliber player that they would want back for him.
Yeah.
Aleš Hemský, I don't want any part of that. Paul Byron, I mean, just their forward situation is not great. I mean, I think that it's worse than the Sharks.
Yeah.
I think maybe Buffalo, maybe Evander Kane. And as much as people are going to be like, I don't want anything to do with that, there's been rumblings about them trying to get rid of him. Now, bringing him to the Bay Area, where there's probably more distractions here than there are in Buffalo, I don't know about that. But there's no denying the kid's got some major league skill.
You know, that's true.
And Doug Wilson loves his reclamation projects. So maybe, and so then, okay, well, what do they think they want to get back? A defenseman, because all their defensemen are pretty hot garbage, to be quite honest. I mean, Rasmus Ristolainen is probably their best defenseman. I mean, Marco Scandella is decent. Zach Bogosian, Nathan Beaulieu is okay, but I mean, like, really, it's just littered with fourth, fifth, and sixth defensemen. Yeah. So, would you trade Braun and a pick for Evander Kane?
No. Mm-mm. No. I think the headache's already an issue as we speak. I don't see that happening. If you get Braun in a pick, I mean, it should be something decent.
Yeah, but Braun in a pick won't get you Duchene. I mean, there's no way. I mean, I think anybody thinking that
you're probably gonna have to send 2 to 3 pieces. Or probably 3 pieces at least to get Duchene or Tavares out of Colorado or Long Island, respectively. Let's be real here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I were a betting man, I mean, if the Sharks really wanted to play ball in that sweepstakes for Duchene.
Yeah, and also remember the other thing too, and Jennings kind of brings up a good point. The Sharks don't have their second or third round picks in this upcoming draft. They have a first, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. Those second and third rounders are property of Toronto, thanks to Nick Spaulding and Pollock, along with the Reimer deals that they had in the 2016 deadline.
Yeah, so. Just quickly peeking over. I mean, just looking at the from the prospect sides of things. Oh goodness!
Yeah, and like Gen X, it's like the Sharks don't have the pieces for either. They don't, unless, you know, Doug wants to go weirdly crazy on some crazy deal.
I think Braun is a good, I think it's a good idea, because, you know, when you get Paul Martin back, you know that Peter DeBoer is going to put him in back with Burns. I mean, as much as we, we've seen that Ryan is acquitted himself very well, he's going to put him back in. It's just what Peter DeBoer does. So, would you maybe trade Braun and put Ryan in Braun's spot? Then you basically have seen that you've got a plug and play defenseman who could play, you know, admirably. I mean, he's slotted right today. He's a third slot defenseman, I think, for Joachim Ryan. Could you finagle him playing second line with Vlasic? You probably could.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Wouldn't that put like lefty lefty on?
That's true.
That's one thing that many teams are like, they want lefty and a righty on each line. So that might be something. Nonetheless, that's, I would think, down the road. If anything were to happen, of course, when news breaks, we'll fix it. And with that, we go now to what we used to call around the league. We're going to try and change it up and call it an NHL wraparound. And with that...
Oh, no. We're just going to get so many reach around jokes. All right.
And with that, we do have... Kevin. Jeez, really?
We have a trade to announce.
Thank you, Kevin. That was perfect, right on cue. Riley Sheehan goes to Pittsburgh for 2018 fifth round pick from the Red Wings, along with the. Blah, blah, blah. Let me try that again one more time. Riley Sheehan, along with a fifth round pick in the 2018 draft, goes to Pittsburgh in return for Scott Wilson and a 2018 third round pick. This essentially was to make room for Athanasiou coming back into the Red Wings roster.
Did they get him signed?
I believe they did, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, I guess Cap Friendly just didn't update yet. Well, that's good for them. I mean, the kid is he's really fun to watch. That kid, I mean, he just is really fast, and it's just really fun to see him. But I mean, Riley Sheehan, a decent player, and not a bad price for what Pittsburgh paid.
Yep, that's sure.
You gotta hand it to old man Rutherford. He can still pull out some bunnies from his hat.
And with that, let's take a look at the scores across the NHL. Earlier today, it was the Rangers beating the Predators 4-2, with Jimmy Vesey getting an empty netter after Hayes gets his third on the year at 12:46. Jesper Fast and Chris Kreider with goals in the first. Matthias Ekholm and Philip Forsberg for Nashville as Saros takes the loss. And Henrik Lundqvist gets the victory for the Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, did you see that that big celebration that he had after winning it? It's like they were joking around. It was like he won the Stanley Cup.
Well, yeah. I was like wondering. He's like, okay, he finally gets it. But, okay. Whatever floats your boat, Henrik. All right. In the City of Brotherly Love, the Battle of the Orange, I guess you could say, the Flyers beat the Oilers 2-1. Patrick Maroon, the lone goal scorer for the Oilers, as Claude Giroux gets his fifth on the year. And Wayne Simmonds with the game-winning goal with 2:15 left, as Brian Elliott beats the battle of against him and Cam Talbot.
Yeah, it's not looking good in Edmonton, and
scary to think what's going on in Edmonton right now.
Yeah, it's I mean, look, I mean, Leon Draisaitl is a big part of that team. But like I said last year, when we were going into the playoffs, I thought that the one thing the Sharks could do was outbeat them in the depth department, because I still think it's way too top heavy there. And you know that Peter Chiarelli loves to do that.
Absolutely. Moving onward, in the overtime. Wait, sorry, I got to do this the proper way. Ryan O'Reilly wins it for Buffalo in overtime. At 2:59 of the extra frame, Ryan O'Reilly with the game-winning goal, his third on the year as the Sabres beat the Bruins 5-4. Pastrnak, Marchand with two goals, and Pastrnak with two goals himself for the Bruins as they add one more to the population of Pominville. Eichel, Pouliot, Evander Kane, and O'Reilly score for the Sabres as they improve to 2-5-2.
The Sabres. Yeah, I mean,
that great paper company in
Scranton. Yeah. The Bruins, I mean, I think that they're kind of in that rebuild arc now, too. I don't see them being big players in the East this year. And the Sabres, I had higher expectations for them, and maybe this is the righting of the ship, but man, it does not look good there. Even just looking at their blue line, it needs a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You thought Torrey Krug was about to be the improvement, and then the whole thing with Hamilton leaving years ago just seems a little bit out of it. In Ottawa, it was a Maple Leaf invasion in the building. However, on the ice, the Senators beat the Maple Leafs 6-3. Dangle's going to be pissed tomorrow. Van Riemsdyk, Matthews, and William Nylander for Buffalo. For Toronto, as Nate Thompson. Ryan Zingle, Derek Brassard with two goals, Stone with two goals, as the Battle of the Andersons, the one with the O, not the E, takes the victory in Kanata. Well, is it still considered Kanata?
It's Kanata.
Yeah. It was a crazy third period where both teams scored three goals apiece.
Yeah, it's a battle in Ontario, right? I think is what they call that.
Yes.
Yeah, Maple Leafs, I mean, they'll bounce back. You know, I'm surprised they didn't put up like 5 or 6 and it wasn't like a 7-6 game, you know, with the goals that they can score. But yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Mm-hmm. All right. In Tampa Bay.
Oh, this is bad.
This is bad, and they feel bad, as Hockey Trick would say. This game included Sidney Crosby chirping at the refs, and he got a 10-minute misconduct. That's how crazy this game was. As the Lightning destroy the defending champ 7-1, Jake Guentzel was the only goal scorer for Pittsburgh in the third period late in the game to ruin the shutout bid for Vasilevsky. As Kucherov scores twice, Stamkos, Gord, Point, Stralman, and Sergachev. That's right. You're tied with Alex Ovechkin is Nikita Kucherov. Sorry, that was bad.
And you should feel bad.
I do. That was really bad. I apologize. But the Penguins go to 5-3-1 in the year, while Tampa Bay goes to 7-1-1 to start the season.
Yeah, that Niemi sucks.
Oh. Yes, getting to, I retweeted it earlier on my timeline tonight. This, I got to find it here. But, man, you know it's bad when the press starts getting on one of the players. Jason Mackey, that's his name, he's the Penguins beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and he said, dude just proposed to his girlfriend here. She said yes. Niemi couldn't stop that either.
Yeah, no, it was bad. It was garbage. It was really hot garbage. And I love Nemo. I want to see him do well, but man, that was not a good outing. It was not a good outing. And I think, look, it wouldn't have mattered if it was Murray in net or if it was Nemo in net. I mean, the Lightning are just rolling right now. And somebody was asking about Kucherov. The kid's the real deal. He really is. I mean, you saw it last year. You started to see him emerge last year as a real threat. But man, with him and Stamkos, that team is scary. And Victor Hedman, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Bearded guy, this will finally be the last few games of Niemi in the NHL. I'm tired of hearing him. I think... Oh, jeez.
Even Stalock is making fun of Niemi at this point.
Oh, damn.
Oh, poor Al. Poor Nemo. But wow. Yeah. Let's go. Let's keep going
with the scores here. The Kings continue their winning ways. They are now 6-0-1. That's right. The Kings have as many wins as the Sharks do have points right now. Beating the Columbus Blue Jackets by a score of 6-4 tonight in Ohio.
I don't care. I hate LA. I hate that they're good. I just don't know where this is coming from. I don't know what kind of voodoo witch doctor Rob Blake has prayed to get this team to score, magically find the fountain of youth and score. Maybe he sent Dustin Brown and Kopitar to Lourdes, you know, to bathe in the baths or something. I have no idea, but this is black magic.
Jeez. Kopitar with a couple of goals and an assist. Dustin Brown with a 4-point night, three assists.
Oh my god, I want to vomit in my mouth. Oh my god.
Jake Muzzin with a 3-point night for Los Angeles as they improve to 13 points on the year. Foligno, Milano, Calvert, and Bjorkstrand. I hope I got that right, Genix. Tell me if I did.
Bjorkstrand? Yeah, that's right.
Bjorkstrand. Or Jerk or Ian. I hope I got that right. I'm trying to be better than some other guy that can't pronounce things on this show. Anywho, moving onward. Panthers over the Capitals 4-1 in D.C. Brickley, Dadonov, Trocheck, Barkov, all with the goals for the Panthers, while...
Second
on the year.
Let me take a look.
DJOOS. Yes, I'm gonna just
DJOOS.
It's the rookie. I remember it was a rookie. It's second on the year Juice. As the Capitals fall to the Panthers 4-1.
I think it's just use. He's from Sweden, so I don't think it's got a D. Yeah, it's as Doctor.
Yeah,
Gen X is saying it's juice. Yeah, gotcha. you drop the D.
Drop the D. Of course we do. In Dallas, Stars win 4-3 over Drew Weber's. We don't forget you, Carolina Hurricanes. Jeff Skinner scores twice. Jordan Skaal gets another one in the third. Jamie Benn gets his fourth on the year as Sagan picks up his sixth, along with a pair of goals from Tyler Pitlick. The Stars are now 5-3. Games in progress include...
Coyotes just scored. Blackhawks and Coyotes are tied 2-2.
Yep, late in the second period. It sent the first intermission. Minnesota and Calgary are scoreless. And the game just getting underway in... Sin City, the Blues and the Golden Knights are 0-0. That is the free game on NHL.tv if you want to check that out. So that is your NHL wraparound on
NHL reach around.
See, if you say that, you're just setting us up.
Well, no, you're just setting us up anyways.
No,
I mean,
I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Hashtag hockeyborn.
Oh boy. Earlier today, and I mean early, I mean like earlier this morning on the West Coast, your beloved San Jose Barracuda hit the road And they were doomed by a slow start, according to sjzbarracuda.com. 4-1 to the Cleveland Monsters. Monsters jumped on 35 seconds into the game. Didn't stop from
Who would have thunk that if you traded away their best goal scorer, they would have problems scoring? Who would have thought?
Apparently not Doug Wilson.
Yeah, but, I guess not. Yeah. Well, I think we're about done, right?
I think we are just about done. So if you missed anything or want to watch or listen to this over and over again, by all means, hit us up on wherever you can hit us up on.
Oh, hold on. That was my cue.
Thank you.
My bad.
No, you're good. If you miss any
there we go.
The show or want to hear it again, check us out on tltownusa.com. You think we would have this written down somewhere else rather than just reading the screen. Or on your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or on the site. I'm sure we'll retweet it out on Facebook and the Twitter machine for all your needs. So that's tltownusa.com. Mm-hmm. And final thoughts, Mr. Landy.
Look, Sharks played well tonight. I would say on the border of decent and well for a back-to-back. Sometimes you just lose those games that you kind of don't know why you lost, and this was one of those games. I still think though that this is systematic of a larger problem. I mean, it's pointing to a larger problem, and like we've been saying before, I think it mostly has to do with the lack of forward depth and creativity. And I wrote into Paul Gackle, which you guys should take a look at. He's got a great little podcast, the Gackle Report. But I wrote into him and I said, well, perhaps it's the system. You know, Peter DeBoer has his three-year trajectory where its first year is really good, second year is tailed off, third year is bad. And I put it out there that maybe it's because in the first year, the system hasn't totally been ingrained yet. So they still have creativity from the prior years. Second year is okay, but it's starting to get, you're starting to see the patterns of not enough creativity. And the third year is where it really goes down the port, or it's not the port, but down the toilet. So,
right.
I think we're seeing the larger effects of system at work, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's concerning, but yes. But nonetheless, Landy, where can people find you?
Yeah, well, you can find me on pretty much any social media outlet, you know, Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me Heeltown USA. I mean, you know, I'm pretty easy to find. It's just Eric Landy, and I don't make any qualms about who I am. You guys can always try and find me, and you know, like I said, most of my usernames are just at Eric Landy, because you know, what do I care?
Yeah, I'm Eric Curry. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat at PuckGuy14. You can always check us out Tealtown USA on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tealtownusa.com.
Somebody was asking about my backdrop, and no, this is actually a Aztec calendar that I got while on vacation, and these are some like shells and stuff that I got while I was on vacation. So thank you for whoever picked that out. I believe that was Laurel. Yeah,
Laurel got that in there. Plate with sand and shells, it looked like at first. So make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you hit subscribe. If you really like this, check us out on tealtownusa.com for all your Sharks needs. And we would be remiss if we didn't say a special shout out to Randy Hahn on his birthday. Great time to have a birthday in New York. Hope you're having a good one if you're watching. And until Monday night following the Sharks and Rangers, we'll do it like Randy used to do it on Late Night Confidential. Keep it real, keep it fresh, keep it real fresh. You have a great rest of your weekend. Good night, everyone.
Have a good birthday, Papa Han.